you're listening to this, you're most likely a student at UConn. You've been going to school since you've been a very young age. You've experienced your favorite and least favorite classes, as well as your favorite and least favorite teachers and professors. You might have been taught by teachers that you made genuine connections with, you bonded with over what you were taught in the classroom, or you might have worked alongside them in conducting research or projects outside of school. There's also the chance you've had teachers that you pray you'll never have to be taught by again. The teachers that just never understood how you learn and overlooked your needs to be properly educated. If a teacher of sorts is who's responsible for conducting the experience of learning, then how do teachers affect the learning experience? And do they really teach? This is episode one of Behind Classroom. So I want to start the discussion by having all of you introduce yourself, stating your year and your major.
I'm Olivia Jendruski. I am a sophomore, and I'm an agriculture and natural resource major.
I'm Maggie McShane. I'm a junior, and I am a psychological sciences major.
My name is Megan. I'm a junior, and I'm animal science.
All right, I want to start the discussion by asking the three of you, just off the top of your head, as individuals, do you guys think teachers affect your learning experience? Off the top of your head.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, do you want to elaborate or no?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it depends on the teacher, because my dad's a teacher, and honestly, I would do anything to have him as my teacher, because he genuinely cares about his students, and some of my teachers don't.
The goal of this podcast is to dive into the breakdown of teaching and discuss the different impacts of schooling methods and learning modules as to how effective they are for different subjects and different types of students. My next question for the three of you, what type of learners are the each of you, and what kind of teaching styles practiced by your professors help you the most?
I really like when a professor is lecturing and they're very repetitive, and they're also just straight up with, you know, what we're going to be examined on, what content that we really should focus on and paying attention to and taking notes on. I just think it's really helpful, you know, when a professor keeps us in the loop and doesn't make things difficult for us, especially when it comes to examination times. I think it's just really beneficial when, you know, even though the material can be hard, the professor is there and willing to teach and willing to make sure that we're understanding the material and isn't kind of just leaving us to our own devices to kind of figure everything out. Like, they make it a point to be there for us, especially if we need a little extra help understanding the material that they give out to us each week.
While preparing for this episode, I pulled a few sources from some research studies conducted, testing different teaching methods, and a study conducted at Lyon College earlier this year tested whether or not modern or traditional teaching methods were more effective on undergrad students enrolled in math courses. So before I share the results of the study, as undergrad students who may or may not be studying math as part of your degree, Megan, you're pre-vet, I want to get your prediction as to what the results were, as to what do you think the teaching methods, which were more effective, so whether modern or traditional. So for context, the professor, Benjamin Norton, who was in charge of the study, was focusing on any changes to the students' grades or understandings of the class topics.
I think it depends. I think it can go both ways. It can be beneficial to some students and it can be harmful to some students, because at the end of the day, everybody is different and everybody learns differently. And I think another big important thing to keep in mind is that students who learn differently can also have things that affect how they learn differently, like mental disability or learning challenges like ADHD or anxiety or depression. Things like that can alter, I think, how students are able to comprehend things in the classroom. So I think that it really just depends. Me personally, I just kind of really focus on, when it comes to, when I think of a good professor, I just think what comes to mind is someone who is attentive and there for their students and wants to form a personal relationship with them, and rather than just being, you know, them one out of 400 and something kids in a classroom, like they actually take the time to build that kind of one-on-one. I know it obviously goes both ways, you know, with students needing to be self-advocates for themselves, but I think it varies whether, you know, the preference is modern or the traditional teaching styles. I think it varies from student to student because there's a lot of different factors that can go into, you know, what style works.
After going through the experiment and exercising the teaching methods with 43 student participants, they found that the students taught via the modern teaching methods had higher average scores than the students taught with the traditional teaching methods. And they also found that regardless of teaching condition and mathematics education level, and that as students progressed in their studies and continued to enroll in higher level classes, their levels of self-regulation, self-efficiency, and utility reported had increased. So they reportedly got better as they enrolled in higher level math courses. As college students, do you guys find that as you continue to take these higher level courses throughout your years here within your major, do you show improvement in your grades and your understandings of your work and how you function as students, or like, what are your experiences?
For me personally, I feel that I have been in a decline, considering that I am on the pre-vet track and I am just beginning to take the STEM courses that are needed for this pre-professional track. It's extremely difficult and it's definitely testing my limits, and it's become very stressful and very hard, and you definitely need to really apply yourself if you want to take a career path like this seriously, because it's not a joke. Like, as someone who's pre-vet, like, C's don't get degrees like some college students who are just getting their bachelor's, as someone who wants to go off to, you know, grad school, vet school, like, I have to, like, get really good grades in these classes. I can't just simply pass them. I need to really put in the extra work. An example of that, I'm currently taking Gen Chem 1, and I hate it very much, but I literally can't fail it, so I decided to get a private tutor and work with someone one-on-one, because for me personally, I can't work in a group tutor session. I just feel like I'm distracted. I feel embarrassed if, you know, I don't get something and everyone else does, so I just feel more comfortable working with someone more one-on-one, where I can really focus and really be kind of spoken to one-on-one, where I can kind of learn and relearn things a lot better.
I mean, it really depends on the class, because it really depends on the class, because some courses are harder than others. Like, a lot of gen ed courses are pretty easy and fairly easy to get through with kind of minimal effort, honestly. But other classes, like major related courses, they could be a little difficult, especially as you get higher up in the course levels, like 3,000 levels, even 2,000 levels, and like agriculture and natural resources, they get hard because there's a lot of scientific stuff that goes with it. And as someone who changed my major from animal science to ag and natural resource, it's kind of hard to switch because I focus so much on the animal part, and now I'm focusing on the land and agriculture and farming and business, so it's a bit of a switch.
So, I'm also animal science. I'm no longer pre-vet. For me, it depends on the course, because with my major, and I'm a senior now, a lot of my classes build up their content after the prereqs and stuff that I've already taken over the years, so I consistently get to expand and improve my understanding of what I'm taught over the years. But it's not the case for every sequence of courses. A good example was the animal science courses I've had to take, specifically anatomy. I'm on my third anatomy class, and the first two I took a while back were really helpful with it, honestly. However, when it comes to other classes, like my math courses and chemistry, I'm taking Orgo next semester, and I know for a fact that I'm going to struggle in that no matter how much chemistry I've taken. So we've talked about teaching methods while in college. I also want to include a little bit of discussion of, I know this is kind of off topic, but teaching K through 12, because that's a time frame in a student's life that's prepares us for whatever education we look for afterwards and what molds us into the learners we are today. All right, so this is a weird question. Picture that you yourself are a teacher and that you have to instruct your younger self. Pretend you have like a 10-year-old version of you sitting in front of you. So reflecting back on how you were as a child in school, what methods and tactics would you apply when instructing your younger self? For me, a lot of games. I'm a very hands-on learner. I had ADHD. I was bouncing off the walls. I need something that's going to keep me entertained while learning at the same time.
I agree with the games. I feel like having ADHD, it's very hard to focus, especially on things that I don't care about. And that is most of my courses. So I don't really care about any of them, so it's hard to focus. So
as we continue to grow as a human population, we continue to make historical advancements in everything we do, especially in our modern day technology. So all four of us were enrolled in high school at the time of the COVID-19 pandemic. Thus, we were able to experience most of our K-12 years prior to the giant switch to online and hybrid learning. So, I mean, except, what, you were a freshman?
Hated the online. I will forever be an advocate for in-person learning because, one, it helps you learn so much better. There's so much more resources, so many more people to help you.
That was a perfect response because my next question was, think about your transition to online school back in 2020. I had the exact same experience. I struggled big time. I struggled to really familiarize the environment of my desk in my childhood bedroom with the online classroom of either Zoom, WebEx, Google Meets, whatever your school used. And like a lot of the students at the time, I was unable to sit and stare at a computer screen for hours on end. I remember joining class calls and sitting there with my laptop open with another tab to either Pinterest or Minecraft because my... Now that these advancements made in technology, most students in the U.S. have the privilege of having access to high-tech tools and learning assistance to learn more efficiently. So, and these include online educational programs and tools such as Khan Academy, Quizlet, Chegg, YouTube videos, and AI assistance, and more. So, do each of you think that these modern-day technology adaptations helped us learn, or are they more harmful? In my opinion, because they're so easily accessible. I mean, it can go both ways. Students are constantly finding loopholes in doing their schoolwork and can cheat their way into getting good grades, which can very much build a very unhealthy work ethic, especially if you're, for students younger in middle school and early high school who are having access to these tools, we didn't have these until college. So these did not exist back in 2020. And I'm not gonna lie, I can attest, while I've used a lot of these sources to help me get better grades and understand it and get a better understanding of my coursework, I've also used them to just take the easy way out.
I think that a lot of students use like things like ChatGPT, even like Google Translate for any language class that they have or whatever that they may use. I feel like that they use it mostly to get the easy way out, to just to get it done, but I feel like it also teaches you a little bit because it's telling you the answer, and then you can either for yourself decide if you want to figure out how that answer was given or just submit whatever you need to submit as is and just not put in the work. I think that if you put in the work, when you use these applications, they can be helpful. But if you just use them to just get things done, submit papers, and not worry about things, and just get everything done without learning, then that's your own fault. And then it doesn't work. And if it doesn't work for you, then too bad.
Under the right conditions, and with proper guidance and authority, these new tools and sources allow students currently enrolled in K-12 schools to become better learners via the hybridization of educational experiences. A research study conducted in 2023 by a professor at the University of Alberta displayed results that oppose our own beliefs on hybrid learning. The intention of the research done was to explore the concept of hybridization as a digital transformation process of teaching and learning in the K-12 educational context, with no biased prediction made as to whether this transformation process produced positive or negative results. Their team's results were that through the introduction of new teaching practices and the online tools that we use today, they not only cancel out challenges instructors face through online teaching, but they also improve technology that allows students to learn from home as if they were sitting in a classroom, and often improve academic. Alongside this, another study published recently in October focused on the use of artificial intelligence in higher education. Conducted and published by a PhD candidate at the University of Iowa, the study discusses how the tool Artificial Intelligence Enabled Intelligent Assistant, yes, that's what it's called, can be involved in education beyond a high school diploma, presenting its high-tech composure in multiple features that can give people a boost in learning during college or other advanced degrees. They go into detail about the usage of the learning tool, including its challenges, limitations, and future directions for the development of AI-enabled intelligent assistants in education. So the study wasn't really trying to prove a thesis. It was just talking about the features of AI and it's how you use it, yet categorizing the use of it as an adaptation to modern-day education. What are everyone...
I guess it is because it's adapted to give students answers right off the bat when they need them, and that's how they run their program. They literally just spit out answers from the web to whatever person needs them. So I do think it is kind of, it comes from all the modern technology that has been implemented in education. I think that it's honestly ruining it and kind of making education less effective in a way, because if you don't know how to use these applications, then you're not going to learn as effectively.
So I think it's more harmful when it's supposed to be helpful. So like, we made these tools to help students get a better understanding of what they're learning. And I've had teachers talk about AI assistance before, how it is helpful. Sometimes they have encouraged it. As we start to come to a close, I have one more question for our guests today. We've discussed how different learning modules and teaching styles affect how we learn, differences between general education and undergraduate learning, the impacts of online schooling, and the different adaptations and changes made by schools and teachers to the concept of education to evolve alongside the rest of our modern day society. After all we've discussed, my last question for you is again, do you think teachers affect your learning?
Yes, teachers do affect learning experiences, because if you have a bad teacher, then you are going to learn less effectively. And if you have a good teacher, then you will learn effectively.
I think teachers definitely affect your learning experience. As someone who has grown up with a not-so-known disability, it can be very, very harmful to experience a teacher who doesn't have the same learning values as you do. Not very explanatory, very just blunt and to the point, and not adapting to how different kids learn visually, tactile, bunch of different ways that I wasn't really very successful at. And I've had a lot of teachers who just have been a serious roadblock. Like, I've had some pretty bad teachers in relation to self-esteem, when they don't really explain, and they don't explain effectively. A lot of students can get lost, and I got lost very, very frequently. And when teachers like neglect all students and how they learn, it could be definitely taking a toll on my motivation. In my experience, I just felt very left behind. I felt like I wasn't smart, and so I just didn't have any motivation to really try at my schoolwork because I thought I was going to fail anyway. But once I had those teachers that really fostered different learning experiences and incorporating how different students like to learn or what's funnest for them, which was really a big thing for me, it definitely made me more confident in my abilities, just going through school being very, very anxious about giving the answer.
I'm sure every student can preface your answer that teachers, alongside their methods and adaptations to improve the classroom, do affect the learning experience. And while it may not seem like it at times, teachers really do teach. I want to thank each of my guests for being a part of this episode and this project. And to those listening, until next time, on Behind Classroom Doors.